This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to Freaky Fauna Friday, where every Friday we take a little time and explore some of the freaks of nature from around the planet we cherish so deeply. So please, jump aboard and let's explore the wilds together.
Oh. Welcome back to Freaky Fauna Friday. I'm the great and peaceful Mystery.
And I'm Jay.
Hopefully you guys had an amazing Christmas.
Christmas is over already?
Yeah, it was two days ago.
Just came one day ago. Yesterday. Christmas just feels so far away.
I was talking to some people on Facebook because I was sick as of when this comes out 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
And they're like, hope you're feeling better and checking in. I'm like, I am feeling a lot better. Thank you. And they're like, forgot that it's like pre-recorded by a couple weeks.
Right, yeah.
Do you remember what today's Freaky Fauna is?
Well, last time I think we did a freaky flora, and that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Northern Pike was last time.
Oh, yeah.
One of our longest episodes ever.
It was. Ain't that nuts? That's Christmas miracle. Mm-hmm. So we doing another fish?
No, we were doing a Christmas animal.
Ooh, a Christmas animal.
Think of an animal associated with Christmas.
Reindeer?
Yep.
That what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. Reindeer.
Or are we going to do caribou?
Reindeer. There's a difference.
Is there a difference?
Yep.
We're going to do reindeer today.
All right.
Native to Northern Europe and Asia. And they're also known as caribou.
They're not.
Native to North America.
Oh, okay. American versions are caribou?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's in North America, it's called a caribou. And if it's in, Europe and Asia, it's called a reindeer.
Huh. So does that mean Santa's lives there or what?
Well, it's hard when you're talking about the North Pole.
Yeah.
Because it's all kind of just one area.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Jay is sick.
Sorry, I'm a little sick today. Sorry, guys.
The species of deer that resides in areas in and around the Arctic. So one of the few animals that, one of the few large animals that really takes a hold of that habitat.
What do they call it? What's the four-letter hoofed?
Or four-legged. Ungulates.
Ungulates. Yeah, one of the few ungulates up there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Can you think of the other large ungulate? We've actually done an episode on it.
The moose?
Not in the Arctic.
Oh, in the Arctic.
Moose are pretty far north, and they may there may be a moose every once in a while in the Arctic, but they would not be classified as an Arctic species now.
Well, it can't be a polar bear.
No.
Because that's not an ungulate.
Right.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Muskox.
Oh, the muskox. You're right.
The goat.
Wow.
The species of deer, like I said, resides all around the Arctic. They are split into two types, depending on habitat that they live in, being either the tundra or forest caribou or reindeer. Forest reindeer are less common, and tundra reindeer are usually found in extremely large herds, which mass migrate at certain times of the year.
Hmm.
Have you ever heard of the caribou runs or the reindeer runs?
I think so.
Yeah, which we'll talk about.
I think I've seen videos of them. It's just
crazy.
Massive amounts.
Mm-hmm. There are both wild and domestic herds of reindeer. However, with caribou, they're all wild.
Hmm. Okay. So no one's domesticated them like they have the reindeer?
Right. Okay. So once again, the only difference is the American is called the caribou.
Yeah.
The Europe and Asians called the reindeer. Nobody in America ever domesticated them.
Okay.
There are domestic herds now, but we're talking about like in Europe and in Asia, the Northern Arctic, they will actually have wild, like, not wild, but they're like free-roaming domestic herds.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Like how we used to do sheep.
Okay.
Domestic reindeers are herded by certain indigenous groups, as in the Sami people of Northern Norway, and are used for their meat, fur, milk, and antlers. If you watch that Klaus movie on Netflix.
Oh, yes. They Christmas actually, movie.
They show some of the Sami people on there. It's really cool. They live in, like, not teepees, and they're not yurts, but they're their own type of thing on the ice sheets.
Huh. It's shanties.
All, here you go. A horrible place to live. It just makes me laugh because it's just like, I like visiting. I don't like staying there.
Nope, they're going to live there.
Habitats, tundras, mountains, and woodland areas. Locations are found in Canada, Alaska, Greenland, Northern Europe, Russia, Northern Asia. They can live about 15 years old in the wild. They can be about 150 centimeters tall and about 210 centimeters long. Males are slightly larger than the females. There are a southern subspecies that tend to be larger than the northern subspecies.
Okay.
Males weigh around 240 kilograms and females weigh around 140 kilograms. Color and appearance, they can vary throughout the different seasons, ranging from almost white and gray in the winter to a lot more shades of brown and tan in the summer. Also, the northern subspecies tends to be much lighter in color, even in their summer color.
Mm.
They're herbivores. They feed on grass, mosses, lichen, and they love mushrooms. They have a nose for them.
Huh.
And they eat up to 8 kilograms a day of mushrooms.
We should start domesticating them and do like pigs, you know, truffle hunting with reindeer.
Predators. So some of these predators may surprise you.
Okay.
So humans are a big one.
Naturally.
Bears. They just did an experiment with how close a human could get to a wild reindeer herd versus how close they could get if they were dressed up as a polar bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just pulling the numbers off of my head. It was 50% sooner the herd would notice a guy on the tundra, all dressed up in white like a polar bear. 50% sooner they'd notice him, and 75% sooner they'd run away.
Huh. Okay. So they're a lot more scared of polar bears than are humans.
Yeah, they do not let polar bears get close.
Mm-hmm.
With humans, you know, I think what the more traditional hunting means, they're like, they can get a lot closer. And there are plenty of humans that they see probably in their migration routes that aren't hunting them.
Yeah.
So yeah, bears are a big one. And grizzlies will also take them too if they run into each other. They have a little bit of overlap, especially the woodland caribou or reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles are a big prey upon calves.
Oh, okay.
Which is still, they're not small animals.
Right. But some eagles aren't small either.
Lynx.
Okay.
And wolverines.
Ooh, okay. That would be a nasty battle.
Yeah. And wolverine just pretty much runs up and bites their throat and just starts yanking organs out.
Mm, sounds nice.
Top speed is between 60 and 80 kilometers per hour.
That's pretty fast.
They're pretty fast. There's only one species, even though there's about three or maybe four subspecies.
Okay.
But that's once we've talked about in this show a lot about species versus subspecies, and it's very different biologists argue here, there, and the other. They're probably all one species, in my humble opinion, but what do I know?
It's just where they've lived longer, may have changed a bit.
And they've shared genetics with the ice bridges forming and stuff like that, and herds transmitting around, and this huge migration path they do helps spread genetics.
Okay.
So it stabilizes, it's more likely to stabilize as one population.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because they're sharing genetics. They're not isolating themselves.
Right. Yep. Like an island species or something.
Even some of the island species that we talk about, Greenland and stuff like that, they can still run on the ice flows to get to other places.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they're still connecting at some points in their year to other places. Threats, interruptions to their migration are horrible threats for these guys right now.
Okay.
Which is fences and other human developments.
Hmm.
These guys have strict paths they follow, and impediment to that can be very, very devastating to their migrations.
Detrimental.
They're also having a huge problem right now with diseases and parasites due to some of the climate changing in the Northern Arctic. Some of the ice sheets that they live on throughout the year are melting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exposing more ground cover, more wetness than they're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, the biggest desert in the world is the Antarctic.
Right.
So these animals aren't really designed for super humid
conditions.
Yeah. So these more humid conditions are causing them to get sicker more often.
Okay, that makes sense.
And
their body's not built for it.
Yeah. This is a result, and also is resulting in a high a change to their migratory times because they're following the weathers to when they migrate.
So when the weather shifts a little bit, so do they. Okay.
So it results in calves dying as they are too young to do so.
Okay.
So whole herd populations have gone extinct basically because of this. Because the mom is basically genetic, they just abandon their calves.
Right, yeah.
Because it's time to start running.
Mm-hmm. That's sad.
They are listed as vulnerable. Went from one of the most numerous animals in the Northern Arctic to vulnerable.
Mm. From climate change or from us?
It's a little bit of both. Like I said, those are the two big factors is that they're migrating a lot earlier and they're prone to more diseases because of the wetter climate. And there's interruptions in their migratory paths.
Gotcha, yeah. I just hate that I use that term, though.
And I don't necessarily agree with the whole version of climate change, but there are parts in the Arctic where there are huge detriments happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like Antarctica, the other side of the planet, is having flowers bloom the first time in a very, very long time.
Nice.
Did I show you pictures of that?
I think we talked about it.
That's very detrimental because there used to be a penguin colony there.
Yeah, that's sad.
So they don't have anywhere to go.
Mm, hope they like flowers.
So there are many subspecies of reindeer. However, there are a lot of differing opinions of how many there actually are. Like I said, I kind of look at it as maybe four. But there's plenty of biologists that know more than me that would probably, you know, go more or less than that. Some of them include the Labrador caribou, the porcupine or Grant's caribou, the pearly caribou, which are all found in the tundra regions. There's also the Finnish forest caribou, or Finnish forest reindeer, I'm sorry, and the Newfoundland caribou, and the Siberian forest reindeer, which are all found in woodland habitats. So that would be six or seven right there. Reindeer have four chambers that make up their stomach, also known as true ruminants.
Okay.
Similar to cows, antelopes, and water buffalo. These specialized stomachs help them digest their food, relatively low nutrient value.
Gotcha.
Basically, the stuff that they're getting, like lichen and stuff like that, there ain't much to them.
No.
So you got to really digest them to get what you can.
What are they, like ferment in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically a fermentation chamber.
Get more nutrients out of what's there.
And that's why cows chew their cud and other animals chew cud, is it's kind of, not be too gross, but they throw it back into their mouth.
Yeah.
To re-masticate.
Right.
The food to break it down further.
Mm.
Because there's just not that much nutrients in it. In the winter, when food is very scarce, they eat a lot of lichen, using their feet to scrape it away from the snow or off rocks.
Gosh, that'd be a terrible diet.
In the warmer months, they eat shoots, leaves, grasses, especially from birch and willow trees. They love them.
Mm. They must not have any headaches ever.
Some subspecies of reindeer live in much smaller groups and have much smaller ranges, while others change their group size depending on the time of year, where smaller groups will gather up during migration time and make mega herds. Often spending winters in smaller groups in forest and congregating in larger groups in the spring to move into the tundra regions.
Mm.
Some herds will travel up to 5,000 kilometers within a year.
That's a lot.
You want to guess how many individuals will be in those herds?
Thousands, I'm guessing. Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands?
Mm-hmm. 500,000 individuals have been recorded accurately, and there are reindeer counts every year.
That's
where
they
wild. Have pinch points.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild.
Autumn also sees migrations. However, these are usually the smaller groups.
Mm, okay.
There's also a time of year, which is when rutting occurs, where males, known as bulls or stags, battle each other for mates, which are females, also known as cows. They will lock antlers and push each other around. The bigger and stronger male with his antlers and are more likely to win these battles and gain more access to more females.
Nice.
In the late spring, was when calves will be born, the mothers will choose a more isolated area, a little bit away from possible predators and threats to give birth. They will usually have one calf at their gestation period of 7.5 months, while the calf weighs up to 8 kilograms. Calves are often on their feet pretty quick after birth, and even within a week, they're able to sustain or subsist with the mother's milk from the mother with a little vegetation, which is pretty quick.
Yeah, a week.
They're starting to eat solid food.
That's very quick.
Reindeer are seen as mature as being between 4 and 6 years old. However, they start growing their antlers around 2 years old.
Hmm.
My first Freaky Fauna fact for you is it's pretty odd, especially around the deer family.
Okay.
Males and females both grow antlers.
Oh, okay.
Reindeer are one of the only species of deer where both sexes grow antlers at, on average. In most species, it's only the males. However, in some cases, not all females will grow antlers in this herd.
Yeah. Do you know, is there a reason why?
So, we don't really know why. We know why other animals don't do this. It's because antlers are bone.
Mm-hmm.
They are high. They grow very, very fast. They're highly vascularized. Why they're in velvet, which is the skin on top of them.
Right, yep.
Which they're actually kind of soft. You can move them around and they can get messed up when they're in velvet.
Okay.
They cost a lot of calories to make.
Okay.
So one thought is that caribou need to defend themselves more often than other species of deer.
Okay.
So that's why all of them have it.
Yeah.
Is that it's a weapon. You know, it's worth the calories to invest in a weaponry.
That makes sense, yeah.
But that's one thought. It's not, you know, that's nobody knows.
Just a theory.
Yeah, but we, that's why, like, moose, only the males grow the massive antlers. Deer, white tail, black tail, mule deer only grow. The males only grow. And then there are females that occasionally will grow, but that's the oddity.
Right, yeah, it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an interesting thing for the deer family.
Mm. Freaky.
They have hoofs, next one. They have hoofs that are adapted to cope with the snow. They have cloven hoofs split into two parts that spread out onto the surface of the snow to help distribute their weight, keep them from sinking into. So this is like a snowshoe effect.
That makes sense.
They also help them navigate rocky and icy underfooting in hollows so they can dig to search for food in the snow.
Okay.
So out of all the deer, they have very, very specialized feet.
Meant for the Arctic.
Mm-hmm. Next one is they get extremely large antlers for their body size. Their antlers can grow up to 1.4 meters in length.
That's pretty big.
Male antlers can grow that big and weigh up to 15 kilograms. They can grow up to 44 points on their antlers that are known as tines. Antlers are covered in furry skin, which is known as velvet, which contains blood vessels and provides oxygen to the growing antlers slash bones. So, yeah. That's that one.
Mm.
Next one is reindeer can travel a lot. Which I already mentioned earlier.
Right, yeah.
Up to 3,000 miles a year.
Very nomadic.
So that's from northern Ohio to the southern tip of Florida three times.
Dang. All right. That's pretty far.
A deer.
A female deer. Yeah, no, that's a lot.
Reindeer migrations are perhaps the longest of all land mammals, covering a remarkable distance of almost 3,000 miles in a year. Another seasonal migration driven by food availability, which brings them to regions with higher productivity, which they can give birth and wean their young.
Mm.
In the spring, the long march into the national or the, to the natal grounds with the vast herds of caribou at the entrance. There's actual caribou counts and stuff like that, and people because there's choke points. There'll be it's like if you're into it, it's like a tourist thing where they let you sit up on a ridge and watch thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of caribou come through these little valleys.
Heck yeah,
into the Arctic tundra.
I would watch that.
Mm-hmm. Alaska imported reindeer from Siberia. So in the 1800s and early 1900s, Alaska began to import reindeer from Siberia, basically because they killed all of theirs.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Which is not uncommon for the U.S. For anybody who doesn't know, Ohio, the turkeys went extinct in Ohio, and our deer were just about there. I mean, as close as a species like that can get to extinction, they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
Deer were able to bounce back and come back from other states.
Turkeys didn't.
Our species of turkeys is gone.
Yep.
We actually have Rocky Mountain turkeys were what was reintroduced into Ohio and Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the species that's supposed to be here. That's why they struggle.
Not meant for this.
They're not, this isn't their terrain.
Not their domain they were developed for.
So their fur is hollow, which helps in freezing temperatures. Strands of their fur, the outermost layer of the pelt, are hollow, which helps trap warm air in them and keep them well insulated overall.
Hmm.
They have a built-in insulated coat.
Well, you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be up there.
Another one. Reindeer are great swimmers.
Hmm.
So in their massive migration paths, they run into some substantial bodies of water, especially some raging rivers, and they just go for it. They can even swim up to speeds of 10 kilometers per hour.
Oh, wow.
Which is very fast for a land animal.
Faster than me.
So large lakes and rivers are not a problem for reindeer. they will oftentimes go right through the middle of them.
Really?
If it's in the middle of their path,
yeah,
they'll go right through the middle of the lake.
Hey, it's what you got to do sometimes, I guess. But they got those big old feet, though, so that makes sense that they could use them as kind of flippers.
Mm-hmm. During the rut, males lose a lot of weight. Through the rutting season, male reindeer show an increased level of testosterone and aggression towards each other to attempt to attract females. The rut can last for a while because the males are so focused on it and keeping their females together in a group. They do not eat much, and they lose their weight significantly, up to 33% of their body weight.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Tundra and forest reindeer fight differently is my next little fact for you. Males in large herds on the tundra tend to assist other males on the size of their antlers and help to avoid injury. So they kind of will choose, okay, who has the biggest antlers? They still will fight, but it's less likely.
Okay.
If there's a clear winner of the size of antler and stuff like that, most of the time they're just going to back down.
Right now.
Forest males, though, in smaller groups, will just fight each other no matter what.
Okay. So if you run into each other, we're fighting, basically.
And we think this is because of breeding opportunities. The forest herds are a lot smaller.
Okay.
So there's less breeding opportunities. So when the breeding opportunity arises, you have to fight for it. With the tundras, you know, with thousands and thousands of animals being in a herd, it's not necessarily worth it.
Right, yeah. You can just go on and get the next one.
There's more females. Yeah. There's more females.
More fish in the sea.
Yeah. Reindeer shed their antlers.
They do shed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Reindeer shed their antlers once in a season to help grow larger and stronger ones back. Males and females usually shed at different times of the year, however, which is another interesting fact that we do not know why.
That is interesting. Wonder why.
Well, and there's, like I said, there's thoughts, but there's not really, anybody's guesses are good. Another leading one that I kind of lean towards is the defensive positions for this, is that if they are being used to defend themselves from predators like bears and wolverines,
they couldn't all lose them at the same time.
Yes, then everybody's unarmed.
Yeah.
So if half lose it now and half lose it another time,
they still got someone.
Half the herd is always
defended. Defendable.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's one thought. There are plenty of other thoughts that it's so resource intensive to grow them.
Yeah.
That if the whole herd lost them at once, they would starve to death. The whole group would starve to death.
I could see that too.
So that's like, well, let's half of us lose it now and regrow them.
You're scheduled for this time. Yeah.
So that's another leading one too. But like I said, there's probably a dozen thoughts of why that happens.
So all the males are synced up and all the girls are synced up. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
They are one of the fastest running land animals.
Over the cheetah?
No, they don't beat the cheetah or the pronghorn.
The pronghorn. Very fast.
We've done an episode on the pronghorn.
I think so, yeah.
They can run up pretty close, though. They get up there about 50 miles an hour when they're really booking it.
That's pretty fast.
37 miles per hour is a normal, like, high running speed. But if they're really scared and they really want to move, they can get up to 50.
That's wild.
While the speed means that they just run outside of the very fastest land animals, they're still swift. Like I said, there's just a handful of land animals that beat them.
Yeah.
Ones that come to mind, like I said, cheetah, pronghorn, maybe a couple of the other smaller antelopes can get up to a little over 50.
And me in my prime.
Oh, yeah. I like running like the Terminator.
50 miles an hour. That would be scary.
Even a one-day-old calf is fast enough to outrun an Olympic sprinter.
That's wild. A one-day-old?
Mm-hmm.
Beating Usain Bolt?
I wouldn't even try to chase it.
Well, no, you couldn't.
Reindeers click as they walk is the next one. The knees of many subspecies of reindeer are adapted to produce a clicking sound as they walk, which can be heard for hundreds of meters away. The noise is caused by a tendon snapping over a bone in their feet. The level and frequency is thought to communicate the size and dominance of reindeers and others in the herd. There's also some theories that this helps them stay in connection with each other, especially in heavily fogged or snowstorms.
You listen for the snaps.
Mm-hmm. One of the largest herds ever. So I have, like I said, they do reindeer counts in a lot of the world because their populations are struggling. And in a lot of places, it's like a really big tradition.
Okay.
Some of them even have, like, the one that you can go watch has fences with a gate to open up for the reindeer.
Uh-huh.
And so they can count over. They have, like, a counting bar over top of it.
Yeah.
What do you think the biggest accurately counted herd ever was?
600,013.
Okay. So there's a herd known as the Taimyr herd, which is a Russian herd of reindeer, which is the largest ever recorded. In the early 2000s, though, their numbers reached well over 1 million individuals.
That was a little off.
I'm not that far off. And that herd has significantly been decreased, though.
No, okay. That was at their prime. Huh?
When we were recording this accurately.
Right, yeah.
Like I said, the numbers of individuals have decreased. However, scientists believe it's linked to, like I already kind of mentioned, those climate change things. The herd moving when calves are way too young. They're seeing a lot of moms, like the herd moving a lot earlier. And just basically abandoning calves on the way.
Mm.
So there's also another, probably the next largest herd is found in areas of Canada, but where it's super remote and they can't really get an accurate count.
Gotcha.
Some of the flyovers of it seem to be, you know, probably up there in the 500,000 or 600,000 range.
Pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Males don't live as long as females.
Okay.
During rut, males obviously expend a lot of energy and they get very weak. So they put on a lot of strain on their bodies because that they tend to live quite a few years less than females.
Mm, well, that makes sense.
So an old male can be typically seen to be in like 8 or maybe 9, when females can live to be 15 or so.
Gotcha. Hmm. Reindeer.
And then males are often predated right after rut.
Yeah.
That's when you'll see polar bears and wolverines and wolves start really stalking the packs.
Moving in, yeah.
Because they're so exhausted from rut.
They know.
It's easier.
Yeah, they're more vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's my last little freaky fun effect.
For All right.
Reindeer do sometimes have red noses.
Explain. Is it from rooting around and they get all bloody?
It's not just Rudolph that has a red nose. Reindeer have extreme amounts of blood vessels in their nose, which helps increase blood flow to their nose to keep it warm.
Okay.
They do not sweat. So they use this to help regulate their internal body temperature. So in times of hard running, their noses, their muzzles, will be extremely bright red. And some say that even looks like it's glowing.
Huh. Wow. Maybe they are actually plasmoids.
But yeah, so there's your Christmas episode, even though it's the day after. But
it's all right.
Get some reindeer facts.
Yeah.
A little bonus fact for you is that they hold the record for the second longest stamina of any mammal.
Okay.
Being able to basically run without stopping or walking without stopping. Do you know what mammal holds the record?
I do know.
And well, what is it?
You and me.
Yeah. Well, not me and you. But humans.
Humans.
There are humans.
Our species.
Yes. Not me and not you.
I mean, it could be.
3,500 miles.
Just gotta keep going. Just keep going, man.
There's always those clips and animations of like mammoths, like thinking. I've got outran them now. I've been running for miles, and they turn back around,
they're
and they're
still
just,
there.
People are just walking like a mile back.
Yeah,
like that's how we did it.
You know, just walk them out.
You just keep until they're exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Then you just poke them with a stabby stick.
Mm-hmm. But it's been reindeer, or caribou. It's kind of a all in one.
Okay.
And I've heard people explain the difference between reindeer and caribou, and I think it's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's the same thing.
It's the same animal.
Yeah, just where they're from, basically.
Yeah, and
it's just their preferred nomenclature.
The preferred nomenclature.
Mm-hmm.
So, hopefully you guys had a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Once again, we love you. Remember that. It's a hard time of year for a lot of people. So, reach out to somebody. Be kind and courteous.
And just because Christmas is over doesn't mean the season of giving is over.
Exactly.
So, go out there and give a little of yourself to the world.
Odd.
Yeah. You know, the world needs more of us in it.
All right. Well, I've been the great and peaceful mystery.
And I've been Jay.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Freaky Fauna Friday. If you want to help the podcast grow, remember to share and give it a 5-star review.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.